on the way over this morning, Karen said, I'm praying for you. Seems like we're starting all over again. It feels like that first ride coming over in November 5.5 years ago. And I have to admit, I have that same nervousness. Because here's what happens, is that you work on messages, you preach them, and so, okay, this is our first Sunday back after 6 weeks, and so it's got to be a great message. And so there's that pressure, right? It's just like, oh, man, what if you get something lays an egg? And so, you know, considering that every time I speak is that it's an egg to somebody and it's a blessing to somebody else. Amen? And so I have to admit. But I really, as I contemplate the scriptures and I contemplate, you know, I try not to be a topical preacher as far as looking and reading the paper and bringing my messages out of the paper. I do not want to be a political activist when I preach. I want to present God's word and biblical truths for us to live by. And so I get sometimes between a rock and a hard place, because I also realize is that our daily lives need to be lived to the glory of God. How do we sort things out? How do I live to the glory of God? How do I trust God? Here's what I want to do is I don't want to bring you a report that I heard on Fox News. I don't want to bring to you stuff that I read on Twitter. Okay? What I want to do is I want us to look at God's Word. What does God's Word say about trusting Him? When I think of the early church, and this drives so much of my thinking, when I think of the early church enjoyed none of the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. Let's remember that first of all. And yet the church of the Lord Jesus Christ grew to the point where governing officials were literally terrified. And so that's as close as I'm going to be to political, okay? But I also realize today I want to go to a Proverbs 3 and look at trusting God. And I will admit right off the bat that this is a very familiar passage, a passage that every one of us can quote over and over. Trust in the Lord. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Right? That's very familiar, very familiar. You say, okay, what can you say, Pastor, that's going to encourage me, going to instruct me? And I hope that because it's a familiar passage that we just don't say, well, he's already 5 minutes into this and I don't know. Much of life is based on trust. Do you believe that? Much of life is based on trust. We exercise trust all the time. We trust devices. Don't we trust devices? We all came here in a device today. Most of us. I don't think any of us walked. We might have walked from the parking lot in. We trust people. We trust people all the time. I can remember the few surgeries that I had. That guy always sat there and he said, now I just want to tell you, Mr. Dressler, you know, before you do this, that, you know, it could go wrong and you might actually die. That's always reassuring to hear that last thing. Have you ever had them say that to you when you went through a surgery? Those are some of the most unnerving moments in your life because you're trusting people. I always look at the doctor and I think about this. Here's what I think. I think, man, I hope his wife didn't tell him today she's going to divorce him. You say, why would you laugh about that? Because that's a reality sometimes. And I don't know of anybody that faces situations like that where they're not distracted in their life, correct? I sure hope that he was not dealing with a lawsuit where he lost because I might be the person that he takes it all out on, correct? You say, well, I digress already. See, I didn't get a chance to digress for 6 weeks. So help me, help me. We trust people. We trust organizations, just to name a few. And then there's the possibility of misplaced trust in our lives, where we do trust people when we shouldn't. And we do trust devices when we shouldn't. And we do trust organizations when we shouldn't. When we witness to the world, we declare to them that they must trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And many times we declare our faith by saying, I'm trusting Jesus to be my Savior. We encourage someone who's going through a trial by saying, trust the Lord and He will see you through. That's just a few. Well, as we look to the context of Proverbs so that we don't take things out of context, we need to realize that Solomon is teaching that wisdom is not the result of mere human insight, but of learning God's unchanging ways. So what does it mean to trust the Lord? Well, number one, if you were to go there on your sheet, number one is simply this. If we look for a definition, trust is commitment of ourselves, spirit, soul, and body to the Lord. And that's why it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. A would be this, quickly, we trust God for our salvation. We must. We do not come to God and sign a contract with Him. God does not say to Dave Dressler, you do this and I'll do that. We come to Him and trust Him as our Savior. Amen? That's what it says. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Romans 6, 23. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Those are just passages that we use when we witness to people. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul, in the Mamertine prison, after the earthquake took place and the jailer was going to kill himself, he said, don't kill yourself. He came in trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? That's wonderful. We trust God for salvation. We must trust Him not only for the salvation of our souls, but we must trust Him for the direction of our lives. Sometimes that's where the sticky part comes in. Because what we want to do, and a lot of times how we have been raised, is what we think is that, well, you know, I'm going to be the determiner of my life. And anybody that wants to come in and wants me to trust them for the direction of my life, I'm going to balk at that. Because it's got to make sense, right? And yet I find a lot of times it's easier to trust people than it is to trust the Lord. And yet when we talk about this idea of trust, we trust God for the direction of our life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It is a commitment without reserve. In verse 5, wisdom commands or orders us to trust in the Lord. Look what, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is a plea for the entire commitment of all that one is or ever hopes to be to the providential directing and provisioning of God. And you thought all along is that, well, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. What's this whole thing about trusting my life to Him, the direction of my life to Him? Well, that's what trust is. And so, well, as we continue on and we develop this thought, trust would be this also. Or this isn't on your sheet. I threw it in there. Trust. And what we're saying is this, is that this is not an American idea. This is not a Western idea. This is not an Eastern idea. This is not coming out of the Asia continent. This is not coming out of Europe. This is coming from the Word of God. This is the biblical approach to life. It's what it is. It's about trusting the Lord. Well, if we look at this, we need to realize trust is a distrust of self. Look what it says. We said that passage and we know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, wow, I'll tell you what, that just flies in my face. Doesn't it fly in your face? Think about that. Just like, well, I have an understanding. Don't you have an understanding? Sometimes I have an understanding, and then my wife tells me, and she helps me to understand better. Right, honey? And I love her for that. You know, when we first got married, you know, I told her, honey, don't let me be an idiot. And she's doing a good job of it. And I so appreciate that. And so, husbands, you would be well to take that advice now. Amen? Boy, you guys had a chance to do it there. I'm glad you spoke up there. Okay? You know, that's the part of the Mother's Day sermon here. Okay? Yeah. You know, that unfeigned faith. And the fact that I think it was, I read a book one time where it says that the wife and the mom is the Holy Spirit in the family. And boy, my wife does a good job of that in my life, and I appreciate her for that. But it's a distrust of ourselves. And so what are we talking about? This is an acknowledgement that we don't know what is best for us. Notice this. That's not Dave Dressler saying that to you today. That is God's word saying to us is that I have to admit, I do not always know what is best for me. Listen to this. I'm going to let you in on a little secret today. You might not know this already, but the world doesn't always know what's best for us. And just off the top of my head, I can think of maybe a few things. Is that, have you ever grown up in the day where they came out and said that eggs were not good for us? Have you ever heard that? And then they came out with specifically manufactured eggs that were better for you. And anytime somebody says something, you know what I start thinking? I'm thinking, I wonder how long it'll be before they change their mind on that. You know why? Because man is constantly changing his mind. Which tells me this, God is right on target in his word when he tells Dave Dressler and tells the world around us that we don't always know what is best for us. So what we're doing, we're talking about trust. If I've titled the message this way, that this is a memo from God, and God says to us, trust me. That's what God says. It's a little harder to put it on the board out there like that. Right, Bob? So, Bob, I said, just memo, : trust God. Okay? Because everybody knows what a memo is, right? A memo circulates around the office, and that memo is for everybody. And the memo is supposed to be short, concise, and instructive. And God sends us a memo in his word, trust me. Amen? So now, as we go to B, this is an acknowledgement that we are not capable of guiding ourselves. You say, well, Pastor, this is the first day we've been back. This is the first day I had to get up and get dressed for church. This is the first time that I had to make sure that everything was in order as I came out. And it's wonderful. You say, I can't believe you're talking about negative stuff. Well, here's the thing. We live in a world that even before the month of March came around, 2020, is that it still was not something that we were to be following. We were to be trusting the Lord. Amen? That's all about it. And when we talk about this idea of trust, here's what happens to this, is that, well, you're not really talking about me, are you? You know, I love God. Yeah? You know what? If I asked that question and had you raise your hand, I think without reserve, we'd have everybody here today raise their hand and say that they love God. Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not saying that. But I wonder, are we really trusting God? Realizing what it means. This idea, I have some notes here. I think it's interesting. The verb trust is complemented by the word lean. Trusting in God is a conscious dependence on God, much like leaning on a tree for support. Did you ever lean on something and it fell? Usually what happens is when you're really nervous and you go to lean on something and, you know, like this, lean on this door, and it's one of those doors that have the double hinges, and you fall in and you come out and you go, you know. But we were watching some, you ever watch that show that was on years ago called Family Matters? Steve Urkel? Did I do that? You know, that's what he says all the time. And I mean, I think about all the stuff that he does, and it's just a comedy routine. And, you know, it's just like, yes, but did you ever lean on something and have it give way? And it's just like, oh, I can't trust that, right? Yeah, and that what God wants us to do is to lean on him. Trusting in God is a conscious dependence on God, much like leaning on a tree for support. As this verse teaches us, we do not have our own understanding. God tells us that we are not to trust or lean to our own understanding. This must be a healthy distrust of self, an acknowledgement that we do not know what is best for us, that we are not capable of guiding ourselves. Jeremiah put it this way, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah later says in chapter 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so what he's talking about is us. And so it's interesting. As we look at B, we need to realize that it says this in verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. See, be not wise in your own eyes. In opposition to the efforts of man, wisdom suggests that we take notice of God, that we humbly recognize Him as that one who can best control the affairs of our lives, that we fear the Lord and depart from evil. And he who fears the Lord and walks not in the vanity of self-pride will be delivered from evil. That's what he says. So trusting is turning over our lives to his control. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And so, I find this interesting. I want to read an article. I want to lift these 2 points and then I want to read an article. To acknowledge him means to observe God and get to know him in the process of living. In doing so, a person finds time and time again that God smooths out our paths. A single desire to know his will and to do it. That's one way to put it. There must be an acknowledgement of the lordship of Christ. Every area of our lives must be turned over to his control. We must have no will of our own, only a single pure desire to know his will and to do it. Now notice what's missing from that statement. I didn't mention myself in there at all. I am not calling for you to do my will. I'm calling for us to desire only in our life to do the will of God. Amen? That's what it says. That's what it says. And then B is this. Trust looks to God as a necessary lifeline. And you know what? All the time I knew Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And number 7, verse 7 is just so powerful. It shall be health to thy navel. Every one of us has a belly button, right? And we sort of chuckle when we talk about that. But really, in this passage, it talks about a belly button. It talks about the fact that you and I, in our mother's womb, hey, this is more of a Mother's Day message than I thought it would be. We're completely dependent upon mother because we were attached to mother by that umbilical cord. See, I actually know the term for that, right? And every one of us are reminded every time that we get out of the shower and are drying ourselves off that we, at one time, were totally dependent upon someone else for our existence. And God tells us in His Word, in Proverbs chapter 3, it shall be health to thy navel, reminding us that the lifeline of the body for one who is in a state of dependency is that navel. And God wants us to be attached to Him exactly in that way. Amen? I've received, and we get correspondence yet from different missionaries, and because of the sensitive nature of this letter, I will not mention the missionary's name, because when he was here for the conference the other year, he asked that we not post anything on the internet or anything of that nature of his name. Folks, missions are still going on around the world. What I'm going to read to you, I think, is rather shocking. But it's PG. It can be for all ages, or even G. In Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the virus, where it is believed that more than 100,000 died, Christians are going into the hardest hit parts of the cities, handing out protective masks and gospel tracts to people whose hearts are open to hear the good news. Even police who persecuted these same Christians 2 months ago are listening. That's very interesting. Watch this. I believe that that is an act of Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. They are trusting God. They are not leaning to their own understanding. And what are they doing? They are being used of Him in a most remarkable way. Amen? I find that interesting. I don't know why this came across my desk, other than to share it with you and encourage you. Another story, the next paragraph. A native missionary in India is telling us that many who were enemies of the gospel before are opening their hearts to Jesus. Fear and death have a way of making us look deeply into our hearts for assurance. And we know that only Jesus can give a person genuine and lasting assurance, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Wow. So if you'd like to see this after the service, you can, and look at and read the whole thing. I didn't take anything out of context. But in each of these cases, we have these people are taking the situation that God has brought into their lives. Now, we're not in Wuhan, China. That's not a situation that He has brought into our lives. I cannot live their commitment. I can only tell you of their commitment and say that I believe that that is a perfect application of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You say, well, Pastor, they might die. Have you not read the papers lately? 29-year-old on a motorcycle, a parole officer, was tragically killed in our area. You do realize that, don't you? Tom Tice was sharing with me, one of our former co-workers, Matt, at Wood Mode, unexpectedly, 65 years old, maybe 66 years old, unexpectedly passed away the other day. Oh, yeah. Folks, listen to me. And I want to make this as clear as I can. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But folks, I'll tell you what. There are still people dying. I've said over and over and over again. I put together my pastor's report for last year. I think I did 8 or 9 funerals. And some of the most tragic funerals that I've done. Harvey and Desiree watched their son. And I do not mean to bring up feelings that would cause you anything. But a routine trip to the ER ends up with tears and heartbreak and tragedy. Rob Longacre driving to work, 40 in a 40-something, gone in an instant. Amen? All the more reason that every one of us needs to make sure that our trust for our everyday life leans on Him and not our own understanding. We live in a world that right now is more receptive to the gospel than ever, and you and I need to be encouraged that you and I share faithfully the Word of God with those around us. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, now this is going to sound a little political, and I apologize for this, but we also realize with the different things that are taking place all around us is that voices now are becoming louder who oppose Christians. Samaritan's Purse, at their own expense, set up a hospital across from Zion, at the invitation of Zion. And I watched two people received national attention for criticizing them and telling them that they did not want them to be there and they had no right to be there. Folks, we're burying our head in the sand if we don't realize that we too could be a persecuted people. And what we need to realize is this, is that if I lean to my own understanding, I am going to cower in fear. And what I want us to do is realize this, is that, and you say, well, Pastor, well, what happens? What happens if you die? If I die, I'm in glory, folks. Amen? I'll give you a title of a book to read. It's the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he lived in a pre-World War II Germany. And I was amazed because I didn't read the whole book, but when I read that book, ever since I've been raised, all I've ever heard of is a Germany that is post-World War II. Okay? I never realized the rich faith that the German people had. And you know what happened? a church stood by doing very little, and the pastors who did rise up paid for it with their life. And we have that as history. And you can read about it, and it's all there. I have no idea, and this is not an activist meeting, this is not a political statement. You and I have absolutely no idea what people have in mind for you and me. All we know is that our lives are in the sovereign hand of our God. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Amen. Amen. And you know what it comes down to? I need to trust Him. And I need to take everything that I hear and I need to run it through His understanding and ask Him to give me His wisdom. The first message I preached online was facing life's trials. Okay? And what did I talk about? I talked about the idea that it's in the midst of great trials that we cry out to God for His wisdom. And it hasn't changed. I'm not here to retract a statement on that message. If anything, I am here to encourage every one of us that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tell us the exact same thing. Amen? So let's continue on because I'm over the 25-minute mark, I'm sure. And right now you're saying, how did He do that? And so, number four is this, the result of proper placed trust is peace. And that's why we didn't read the rest of it, but I want to encourage you to read verses 21 down to verse 35. Because what He says here, look at verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You know what I like about getting older? Sleep just comes on me sometimes. I don't even have to plan it. My grandson, he is so incredible. We're watching, I pick him up after school and when they had school. And then I'd be sitting there and we're talking about the day. And then we're watching one of his favorite, you know, I get a chance to watch iCarly and Sam and Cat and all this stuff. And you're sitting there and you got, as an adult, you got to look interested. And you're sitting there and he looks at me and I'm... And then I'll wake up and I'll say, oh, Grandpa took a nap. Yeah, about 15 minutes, Grandpa, and he never bats an eye. So anyways, now, but I want you to notice this. Now, I've added a part to this. The result would be this, life unto thy soul. See, when we have this properly placed trust, it'll be life unto the soul. Steadfastness, we won't stumble. See, that's in this second half of the chapter. It'll be this also, not fear. We won't have a fear in life. We won't be afraid. And we'll have sweet sleep. Now, that's just a few. It is not an exhaustive thing of that chapter. But what I want to encourage you to do is to go home. Read Proverbs 3. Read it all. And realize what I am forfeiting by not willing to trust God with all of it and seek His understanding. We have so many voices in our lives today. Before this pandemic came, we still had so many voices in our lives. What am I going to trust? Who am I going to trust? See, I go back to my opening. We trust devices, we trust people, we trust organizations. Those are all areas that we can end up putting our trust. And God comes to Dave Dressler in His Word and says this, trust in Me with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Me. Amen? That's it. Let's pray.